What makes Tuscany so special? Well, one could cite the wines, the rolling hills, or the people, but in truth, this Italian region is one of the richest in the world in terms of great works of architecture. So why not visit in the company of true experts, the folks from Architectural Adventures, the official travel program of the American Institute of Architects. You can learn about this tour and others at architecturaladventures.org/radio. On this tour, you'll visit the famous Leaning Tower of Pisa, as well as Giotto's Campanile, the Villa La Maggia, and the Basilica of Santa Croce, the world's largest Franciscan church. To learn more about this September tour, go to architecturaladventures.org/radio. That's architecturaladventures.org/radio. Go to architecturaladventures.org/radio. That's architecturaladventures.org/radio.
From Paris to Portland, you've picked up the guidebooks. You've followed the advice. This is the Frommer Travel Show. Pauline Frommer, president of Frommer Media, and Jason Cochran, editor-in-chief of Frommers.com, with the most complete, the most up-to-date travel information available anywhere. The pages of the Frommer's guidebooks come alive right now, exclusively on 77 WABC.
Welcome to the Travel Show. I'm Pauline Frommer.
And I'm Jason Cochran.
And we're going to get right to the question of the day, which is actually part of a question that we got by email. For those of you who are listening to the show for the first time, we take questions both by phone, 800-848-9222. Yes, this is a live show. And we also take questions by email. You can send those to frommertravelshow@yahoo.com. So the question of the day is going to be, do you have any favorite Christmas markets that you would travel to see? Are there any Christmas markets that have made the centerpiece of a wonderful vacation for you? 800-848-9222 is the number. And we got a question from Vaughn. Vaughn actually listens to us. He listens to our podcast. He lives in Saskatchewan, Canada. He says, I'm a longtime podcast listener, and I have a stack of your books. I recently bought Jason's authored London 2018 book. That's Jason Cochran, my co-host, has a fabulous
Hello.
Book called Frommer's Easy Guide to London. He says, I love it, but I could not find one piece of information. I have found various areas of London have pop-up markets at Christmas. Is there one that is better than the rest? So Jason, what do you say?
Yeah, it's not in the book because they do come and go, some of them. But the, one of the longest running ones, and probably I'd say one of the most popular and the busiest, is at South Bank Centre. You're going to be on the south side of the Thames anyway. Everyone's always walking along the river there because that's where the National Theatre is and the South Bank Centre and so many other things to see and do, the eye. Well, the South Bank Centre hosts one of the greatest markets as well. There's a little wooden cabin set up along the Thames. It's very picturesque. And, you know, they do lots of street food and little gift ideas, and it's free. You can go in, and usually it runs from the middle of November through the end of December. But it's not the only one. There's a brand new one that's they're trying this year. It's right by City Hall. And if you don't know City Hall in London, it's like this giant egg-shaped building right at the south foot of the Tower Bridge across the river from the Tower of London. They're putting one there as well called London Bridge City. I haven't been there yet because it's new.
Right.
But they're doing it now. And there's one in Mayfair as well on Mayfair Place. It's only a couple days though. It happens every year the last weekend of November. But you sort of have higher end stuff because it's Mayfair.
Right.
But those
sure.
are some good choices. So there are a couple other ones that come and go. But you know it changes all the time, and they're always trying to get new neighborhoods going by adding them. But I'd say South Bank Centre is going to be there for a while because it's so busy.
So the question to our listeners is, have you ever gone to a really great Christmas market? 800-848-9222 is the number. You know, I was in Prague over Thanksgiving once, and the market was open. It was bitter cold, but you didn't mind because you had your glass of mulled wine. You had people singing carols. And at that point, my daughter was very young. I didn't have two. I only had one at that point. And there was, in the center of this gloriously historic square, there was a merry-go-round. But I've said this on the show before.
instead of fake horses, there were real horses walking around in a circle, and she must have rode that merry-go-round for a good hour straight. She was just so enchanted by it, and so were we. It really was amazing to see. So have you ever gone to a really great Christmas market? 800-848-9222 is the number. You can call us about that. You can call us about maybe about our best places to go in 2019. We discussed this last week. Up on Fromers.com, you can read our picks for the best places to go in 2019. You just go to www.fromers.com/bestplaces2019. And let's talk about some of them. Jason, what is the first that you have?
So we did four last week. We're going to do a couple this week. We won't go all at once. You know, we'll drip these out as we go towards the end of the year. One of the ones that we chose this year because it's making a comeback is in Africa. We have a couple places that are making a comeback this year, and we'll get to those later on in the month. But this place is Zimbabwe. It's a place that I don't think a lot of people have been going in the last 20 years or so. It's had some rough times. They had a dictator named Mugabe who recently died, and he was holding on forever. He lived to like 605, but he's finally gone. And so people are starting to slowly creep back now that they feel like it's sort of a better environment for tourists. For a while, people would go to nearby Zambia, right across the border, if they wanted to see Victoria Falls, with a famous waterfall, of course, you know about.
Is it the tallest on Earth?
It's not the tallest, but it's one of the most voluminous.
Okay.
I think Iguazu might be the tallest, and that's in South America. But anyway, people would have to go to Zambia and just sort of – it's like only being able to see Niagara Falls from the American side. You really kind of want to do both. You want to do both Zimbabwe and Zambia. Finally, people were starting to go back to the city, the little town of Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe, partly because now they've expanded their runway. And so not only do you have a better environment politically and better environment for tourists, of course it's still affordable, but it's easier to get there. You know, a lot of people had been traveling overland, which is exciting, but it's more difficult and takes more time. And now that it's easier, that means more Americans with limited vacation time will be able to go.
And so, it's also a good place for safaris, right?
Of course, right. That's what I was going to say. Hwange, which is a national park. Some people say Hwange, but it's Hwange. They have between 60 and 70,000 elephants. No one's really sure how many, because they don't all show up for the class picture every spring, but there are lots of elephants, and so you have a really good chance to see them there.
It's one of the largest herds in Africa, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, and of course they move all around, but it's a good bet you're going to see them. And because, again, Zimbabwe hasn't been the most popular destination, you're not going to have the crowds that you tend to have in other parts of Africa. You know, your father, Arthur Fromer, just recently wrote a column about how in some places in Africa now, when one jeep sees a lion, they all crowd around that poor little lion. And the lion looks up from his dinner, and suddenly there's like 16 jeeps all around. Well, it's not that way so much in Zimbabwe, although it could be in coming years. In 2019, it's a good time to get back there before that happens again.
Right. So that is one of our best places to go in 2019. You can see a beautiful elephant picture at fromers.com/bestplaces2019. Another place is Portugal's answer to Route 66. It's called Estrada Nacional Number 2. It's one of the longest roads in the world. It actually goes from the north of Portugal all the way across the country to the south. And, you know, Portugal is an interesting country in that for many years, nobody went there. They had a terrible dictator. In fact, Salazar was used as the basis for one of the bad guys in the Harry Potter books by J.K. Rowling, because she lived in Lisbon and saw the destruction this terrible dictator had wrought on the country. We're talking about, it's interesting, we have a theme here, former dictatorships. It had a highest level of poverty in Europe. Then the dictator luckily lost power, and things picked up, and now it's probably one of the most popular destinations in all of Europe, as it should be, because this is a country that was probably the wealthiest country in the entire world during the Age of Exploration. They had massive ships coming back to Lisbon every week, just loaded to the rafters with gold. And a lot of that gold you see slathered over the cathedrals and churches of Portugal, just incredible architectural gems all around the country. Well, what Route 6, what the Estrada Nacional 2 is it's a road through the heart of the country. Most people who go to Portugal stay along the seashore. And so those areas of Portugal are kind of getting loved to death. You know, you have a lot of tourists in Lisbon, in Porto, in the major seaside resorts of Portugal, less so in the mountainous regions, in the Douro, where the wine is grown. And so you take this road from the north of Portugal to the south, and you see the oldest university city in Portugal, and one of the oldest in Europe, with magnificent Gothic architecture. You go into the wine region. You go to the second oldest university city in Portugal, where the students often still wear their traditional capes. And then eventually you end up at the seashore. But it's such a great way to see Portugal, because you're going to see a real variety of different types of sites. You're going to see historic sites. You're going to see modern cities. You're going to see incredible wine country. You're going to get to the seashore. But you're going to do it in a less crowded way than if you did the classic way of seeing Portugal, which is really just staying along the coast. So Estrada Nacional 2 is one of our best places to go in 2016. I'm looking at the clock. We have to take a break. Adam, we will get back to you as soon as we take these messages. If anybody else wants to call, 800-848-922 is the number. And before we go to break, I'm talking about taking a road trip in Portugal. Well, what would happen if you got into a car accident? Or if your plane didn't arrive and you had to start your road trip without your luggage, or if you were going to be taking a cruise from Europe and the plane was late and you missed the ship. These are situations where travel insurance really, really can help. And we think the place to get that travel insurance is from Allianz. If you go to them, if you go to Allianz travelinsurance.com, you're going to see a myriad of policies, all of which can help you when different things go wrong. So to learn more, go to Allianz travelinsurance.com. That's Allianz travelinsurance.com.
Get a jump on vacation plans. The Fromer Travel Show. Pauline Fromer and Jason Cochran. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Fromer Travel Show. I'm Pauline Fromer here with Jason Cochran. And we should get right to the phones. 800-848-9222 is the number Adam called. Welcome, Adam. You there, Adam? Adam.
Hi.
Oh, hey, Adam. Nice to speak with you.
Nice to talk to you, too. I wondered how much it would be to get from Old Greenwich, Connecticut to Pasadena, California. Like, how much would be the plane fare?
I feel like it's a trick question because neither one of them will have an airport. But you can go to nearby cities, of course. The fastest, I guess, from Greenwich would be from White Plains, which is about 8 miles away. But there are not many nonstops out west. You'd have to change planes once or twice. So if you want the quickest, it's no stops whatsoever. You go to JFK, you get on a plane that goes to Burbank, California, which is Burbank Hollywood Airport, also known as Bob Hope, because it was named after him. He used it a lot when he was alive. And that's only about 15 miles away from Pasadena. And there are a couple flights that go every single day. Right now, you can get there for about $260 round trip, which is a great price. It's a January price. At least normally you see about $400 or $500. It's just, you know, right down the 134 to Pasadena, really easy to get to. So that's what I would recommend. If you go to LAX, you're way across town. It'll take you an hour just to get to Pasadena from there. But it'll only take you about 10 or 15 minutes to get there from Burbank. So look for that airport and try to get a nonstop.
Right.
Okay, and I love your show, by the way.
Oh, thank you. And what I was going to suggest is for any airfare that you're looking for. The key is to search for it in a smart way. On Frommers.com, which is the website that Jason edits, we did a big study looking at different airfare search engines. You'll find it under the text or under the headline, Best and Worst Airfare Search Engines. And we found that two search engines did far better than all the rest, and I use them myself when I search for airfares. They are Momondo, M-O-M-O-N-D-O, and Skyscanner, which you'll find at skyscanner.net, not .com, but .net. And they consistently found the lowest rates on airfares for far ahead, airfares for last minute flights, airfares internationally, domestically. We did literally thousands of tests to find the best search engines, and those were the two that came on top. They're not advertisers to the show. We just think that they work very well. So in the future, wherever you're going, I think those two, look at them. Have a wonderful trip, Adam. Let's tune into Melvin in Huntington, New York. Hey, Melvin, nice to speak with you.
Same here, and really enjoy your show. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure.
You had had a caller on, I think a couple of weeks ago, that said he had traveled to Iraq.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if what you guys knew about traveling to Iraq.
Absolutely nothing is the short answer. I have never been. I know that there caller was very enthusiastic, but there are still travel advisories from the U.S. State Department that make me nervous about going. Jason, have you ever been to Iraq?
No, I'd love to go because I've heard nothing but good things. And of course, it's a cradle of so much of civilization. So it's on my list, but it's not on my short list for the reasons that you just explained. There are a few companies that will look into doing it for you in package tours. One I heard of is called the Other Iraq, or Other Iraq, I think is what you should say, and Kurdistan Adventures, if you want to go to Kurdish Iraq. And there's some British companies, too, because the Brits are nearer to it and a little less afraid because they have more vacation time. And there's a company there called Hinterland Travel. So the Other Iraq, Kurdistan Adventures, and Hinterland Travel, you will have to sort out your passport on your own, because they're probably going to be used to dealing with the UK passport. And so there might be more hoops that you'll have to jump through if you have an American passport. So that's something to keep in mind. Make sure that you plan far in advance so you can take care of all that ahead of time.
And there's a wonderful travel memoir actually written by a former Frommers author. She's written a lot on China for us. Her name is Jen Lin Liu, L-I-U. And she wrote a book called On the Noodle Road. She did a vast trip trying to find the origin of pasta, the origin of noodles. And so she was in many of the stands, Kazakhstan, she went to Iraq, she went all over China. And she has a fascinating take on Iraq. She had felt before going there that she would feel the least safe there, the most weird as a woman. And she found actually that the stands were much hairier in terms of being a Western woman and traveling around. She found that she was treated really in a lovely manner wherever she went in Iraq, and she felt very safe. Now, this was written a couple of years ago, but I think it really gives you a good idea of what travel there is like and what the history is and a lot about the cuisine. On the Noodle Road by Jen Lin Yu, a wonderful travel memoir.
Terrific. You guys are the greatest, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Melvin.
Thanks, Melvin.
All right, let's turn to Dan in Newark. Hey, Dan, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Nice to speak with you.
Hello, Pauline. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm planning a trip to Costa Rica in February, I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
With a friend, and I just wanted to know, do you think it'd be better to go on the Gulf Coast or the Pacific? Because they do have two coasts, right?
At two coasts, mm-hmm. And they're very different. The Caribbean side is much less developed, and it kind of has a Caribbean vibe to it, in that you'll hear reggae, you'll see guys with dreadlocks, whereas the other coast is kind of more developed. The Caribbean side is far less developed, and that's good and bad. And on the other side, you get some honky-tonk resorts. There's a beautiful place that I love called Nosara, N-O-S-A-R-A. And it is a wonderful resort for two reasons. Number one is much of it is a protected park, so it's not as overdeveloped as some of the other parts of Costa Rica. And number two is, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but it's become a place where a lot of expats settle. And so the restaurants there are much better than you get in the rest of Costa Rica. I'm not a fan of the food in Costa Rica. It's not great. In Nosara, it's pretty good. And also because so much of the wilderness there is protected, it's a little less honky-tonk. Great surfing there, too. But I got to say, if you're going to Costa Rica, don't just do the beaches. You want to also see the cloud forests, the rainforests, the volcanic areas. Jason, I keep talking and you want to talk. Say something.
No, you're hitting all the things I would say.
Okay.
Some of the most popular national parks, the rainforest national parks, will be on the Pacific coast, and the volcanic national parks will be more towards the center of the country.
Right.
So it's hard to do all three of these things, but you can do probably the volcanic parks and the Pacific coast with some of the popular rainforest parks like Manuel Antonio. The Pacific coast just tends to be where more of the people go, probably because of those rainforests.
Because of those rainforests, and also because for whatever reason, it's more developed. So it's easier to find a decent hotel. It's easier to find decent restaurants. But yeah, I what I loved about Costa Rica, I got to say, was the interior. It was fascinating being in these lushly jungled areas in the rainforests and in the cloud forests. And cloud forests are a really rare ecosystem. So I would say if you're going all the way to Costa Rica, don't just go to the beach. There are other places that are going to be better for just beaches. This is really a place where you go also to see the jungle. And as Jason was saying, Manuel Antonio has both, but because of that, it tends to be really crowded. It gets a lot of people.
Okay, but you would recommend Nosara, because I wanted to go to the rainforest too, because I know they have a lot of ecological reserves. But
yeah, you can go to the rainforest. I mean, you're going to fly into San Jose and then maybe drive a car and do a rainforest visit before you go to Nosara. Pick up our book. We have a really great book. It just came out a couple of weeks ago, making it the freshest Costa Rica guide on the market. If you just look for Fromer's Costa Rica, you'll get lots of good information.
Okay, thank you so much.
Have a great time, Dan. All right, let's turn to Anthony in Queens. Hey, Anthony, you are live on the Fromer Travel Show. Nice to speak with you.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I know this is maybe sounds a little off-colored. Another program is offering a tour for 15 days for $5,200. And we're staying at the Hotel Palermo. In Palermo, it's the Hotel Piazza Brozo.
Uh-huh.
Then in Tomolino, it's the Hotel Excelsior Palace. And then in Tropea, it's the Hotel Tropius. And then in Sorrento, it's the Grand Hotel Vecino. And I'm wondering if that is a fair price.
Well, $5,200 seems pretty high. Does that include airfare?
Yes.
And business class airfare, I'm hoping?
I'm hoping. I don't know.
And hourly foot rubs?
You can do tours for a fraction of that cost. I don't know about this tour, but to me it sounds like it's either going to be the most luxurious, fabulous, over-the-top treat of your life or a real ripoff.
It's about $340 a day is what that works out to.
$340 a day. Well, you know, I mean, for some of those hotels, that's not bad. It sounds like a very luxurious tour. You can certainly do it, and I probably have a great time if you have that kind of money, but you can do it for less.
Oh. And how would I go about, say, comparison charging?
Well, there's an easy way to do that. There are a couple of websites that are marketplaces for tour companies. One is called tourradar.com. Another is tripwing.com. Jason, do you know the name of the third? There's stridetravel.com. So you go to those places and you put in the details of the tour you're looking for, and up in front of you on the screen will pop up 20, 30, 40 tours, all of which go to those places, and you'll see the prices, you'll see what they include and don't include, and that's a really good way to comparison shop.
Okay, I really appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Anthony, for calling. We have to take a break. But in this commercial break, you're going to hear about a chance to travel with me. So don't turn down the phone as we go to commercials, because there's good information coming up.
Great empires create great architecture, and that's what you'll see on the Portugal and Southern Spain tour of Architectural Adventures. That's the official travel program of the American Institute of Architects, and they are offering a tour of the Iberian Peninsula that's a romp through history. Among the sites visited are the extraordinary Roman ruins in Merida, Spain, the Alhambra, the grand palace that was the masterwork of the Moors from the era when they ruled this region, the exquisitely well-preserved medieval town of Évora in Portugal, and the Belém Tower in Lisbon. You'll be staying in four-star hotels and traveling with a noted architectural expert. To learn more about this 2019 October 24 to November 7th tour, visit architecturaladventures.org/radio. That's architecturaladventures.org/radio. Visit architecturaladventures.org/radio. That's architecturaladventures.org/radio.
The most popular destinations for you and your family, right here. Pauline Frommer and Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show, 77 WABC.
This program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit Allianz, travelinsurance.com. And also, give us a call. 800-848-9222 is the number. We also take comments and questions by email to frommertravelshow@yahoo.com. And we got one from Lee. She says, Italian markets are not as massive as those in Germany, but some of the most charming are in the smaller towns. Sorrento. I may have been the only Italian-American at the market. The local women were frying pizza dough, men were roasting chestnuts, and there were huts set up to sell produce. Not all made in Italy, sadly. Nothing was as massive as the Christmas event in Hyde Park, London. So have you ever been to that?
Yeah, that's a very good one, too. The Winter Wonderland, they call it.
Yeah, so thank you, Lee, for writing in. All right, let's get back to the best places to go in 2019. One of the ones on our list is the Olympic Peninsula in Washington State, specifically Olympic National Park. If you've never been, it is probably one of the most impressive but most under-the-radar national parks in the United States. It's the size of Rhode Island and has so many different ecosystems. I mean, the variety there is extraordinary. You go way up to these towering peaks where you'll see the remains of glaciers that are 20,000 years old. You'll go to the seashore, and they've got 70 miles of totally wild seashore. So, which is actually the biggest amount in the lower 48 states. You'll go into these temperate rainforests, which is a very rare type of ecosystem, where they get 16 feet of rain per year. So it's probably going to be drizzling or raining while you're there, but that makes it even more evocative. It's this primordial scene with the trees covered with moss that's as thick as a lion's mane, and these trees shooting 200, 300 feet in the air. You really feel like you've gone to the land that time forgot, partially because the park itself is a kind of like a wagon wheel. It has a lot of spokes in, but no hub. There is absolutely no one road that goes everywhere in the park. In fact, 95% of the park is roadless. So if you've ever wanted to go to a place in the lower 48 states where there's just pristine wilderness, where you're going to be able to hike forever without seeing another person, or where you're going to see so many different types of natural scenery, Olympic National Park is it. And then,
and the incredible thing about it, it's right it's within sight of Seattle.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to the airport and just like 20 minutes later, you're pretty much entering the zone. It's incredible that that kind of wilderness is so close to one of our most important urban areas, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And then if you want to have a real change, you stay in Squim, Washington, which is bizarrely spelled S-E-Q-U-I-M, but it's pronounced Squim. And because it's in what's called the rain shadow of Mount Olympus, it gets almost no rain. In fact, this area is called the Provence of the United States because it's so dry, it's filled with lavender fields. So you're driving along and everything smells like lavender. And it's really sunny and beautiful and bright and not rainy. So you go from one of the rainiest parts of the United States, and then in a half an hour, you're at one of the driest. It's a mind blower. So that is one of Frommer's best places to go in 2019. Jason, tell us, what's the wackiest place we're telling people to go in 2019?
Okay. We're telling people to go to space. Now, we're not talking about those 20-minute rides in Virgin Galactic. That's for people with too much money in a midlife crisis. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And yep. There's so much going on in honor of that in 2019. At Smithsonian, the National Air and Space Museum in D.C., you'll get to see Neil Armstrong's spacesuit. It goes on display. It usually isn't. At Houston, the control room is being restored to what looks like it did in 1969. There's another place to go visit when you're in Texas. And in Kennedy Space Center, where the Apollo missions went up, there's all sorts of things going on. They have the original launch pad. It's still there and still used. You can see that. But a lot of old equipment will be back on display. And because it's the 60th anniversary of NASA as well, long may it live, they're hoping that a lot of some of the best, most famous astronauts will make appearances.
Actually, they're not just hoping that. They're planning on this. There's going to be a massive parade in old-fashioned Corvettes. Of astronauts in June who are, as they used to, going to the launch pad. And there's going to be, apparently some of them are in a rock band together and they're going to perform. It's going to be wacky. It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah. I heard that Buzz Aldrin was maybe going to go and maybe he's on good terms. He's on bad terms. Some of those moon landing guys became very reclusive after the fact.
Interesting.
Anyway, but that's not the only space thing we're recommending, because the biggest thing in theme parks, in fact, the biggest thing probably for the last 4 or 5 years, ever since the Harry Potter stuff had opened, is the new Star Wars lands, Galaxy's Edge. And they're going to be opening in Disneyland in California in around May. And then in Florida, almost identical one will be opening at the end of the year in Orlando at Walt Disney World. And people are so excited about them. They're so excited that in Disneyland, they're building an entirely new, like, 8,000-car parking structure because they just know they're going to be swamped. Mm. They even removed some of the park benches throughout the entire park because they're just worried about it being overcrowded.
Wow.
They want to keep people moving along. Well, anyway, it's going to be as if you'd landed in some outpost on a planet called Batu. It's going to, there's going to be people dressed up as traders and bizarre runners. The thing about the one in Florida, which will be even more interesting, there are two rides, one about the Millennium Falcon and one about Resistance. If you know Star Wars, you know what that means. But in Florida, you wear what's called a magic band already at Walt Disney World. There's a computer chip in it. It tells Disney where you are, who you are. They're going to incorporate that somehow, we don't know how yet, in the theme park. We think that if you're riding the Millennium Falcon, which is a spaceship, and how you perform, because there are controls in front of you, how you perform will affect how the staff treats you afterward. They'll know, oh, you fired at my ship, or, oh, you were on our side on that ride. And from then on, because you can be identified by what you're wearing, your experience is going to change as you walk through the rest of the land. It's going to be a fascinating, groundbreaking, and incredibly insanely crowded experience.
Yeah, yeah. And cost, what, $1 billion for these two parks, I think I was reading?
Yeah. I would think that sounds about right. Yeah, because they tend to spend about $500 million when they build a major new land now at Disney. So that's about the – but they build to it once now in Disney. The rule at Disney is design once, build twice, and that's what they've done. But if you had to decide which one to see, Yeah, the one in California opens first, but the one in Florida is going to have those bells and whistles about the bands that California won't have yet.
That's going to be just insane, insane. All right, we have to take a quick break. Before we go, you've been hearing a lot about Allianz. That's because we partner with them. When you buy an Allianz travel policy, you also get great Frommer's information on things like how to put together the perfect itinerary in X, Y, or Z destination. What are the top sites to see in those destinations, and more. To learn all about this, go to allianztravelinsurance.com. That's allianztravelinsurance.com.
This is the Frommer Travel Show. Inspiring locations, inspiring ideas for New York. Live, local, on it. 77 WABC.
Welcome back to the Frommer Travel Show. This week's program is brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. Protect your travel investment from unexpected problems with Allianz. Visit allianztravelinsurance.com. And I know we have people wanting to speak with us. 800-848-9222 is the number. We've got about 14 minutes left in the show, so if you want to chat, do call. That's the number that Danny in Queens called. Hey, Danny. Nice to speak with you. Thanks so much for calling.
Great to speak to you. Have a great show.
Thanks.
I have a question about Alaska. We're planning a trip this spring to Alaska, and we were looking at the seven-day cruises and then the 10-day, which include like Denali Park and what have you. But the price goes up significantly when you tack on that extra few days.
And you are so lucky you called us because – I can tell you all about that. I have done Denali National Park. I've done it in the same way that the cruise passengers did, but I did it for a fraction of the cost because I did it independently. The truth is, when you get off the cruise, they're going to take you to Anchorage, take you to the train station there, and put you on a train. And it's going to be a beautiful train with a glass ceiling so you can, or a glass ceiling inside so you can see all around you as you're chugging your way to Denali. On that train are several compartments of cruise passengers, and then there's regular folks who pay much less. Then you get to Denali, you stay in a hotel. You cannot drive your own car into Denali or a private bus even, so all of those cruise passengers are on national park tours, as you can be. So you just go in, you pay very little to the ranger, and you go on one of these ranger programs. And the great thing about doing it independently is what the cruise passengers do usually is they take a 10-hour bus tour. They go all the way into the center of Denali Park, and they go back out. They see a lot, but they're mostly on the bus. They're rarely off the bus. If you go on your own, there are these fabulous ranger programs. You have to sign up for them the day before. So you usually get into Denali in the late afternoon and you go running over. You sign up for a tour the next day and you go out in a group of 10 or 12 people and you walk with the rangers. And they can only do really small tours because the terrain there is so delicate. They don't want people walking too much on the terrain. But these are fascinating tours. I went on one. They often combine them with scientific projects. Like, we actually picked up scat for the rangers as we were going around to help scientists who are studying this area. It was absolutely amazing. A better experience than the tour cruise passengers got, I'm assuming, and much less expensive.
Terrific. Now, let me ask you, to book the hotel in Denali, I would do that on my own also?
You can do it on your own. Actually, we have a very good book out. It's called Alaskan Cruises. It's all about the Alaskan cruising experience, what you can do in each of the ports. There's a lot of information there about Denali. These tend to be, they're pricey. The hotels in Denali are pricey. There is one, I actually stayed at one that was associated with the restaurant. I think it was called the Fish Camp. But it was one of the least expensive ones. It was just fine. And the nice thing is there's a shuttle that goes all around Denali and into the national park, so you don't need to rent a car.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
All right.
Very helpful.
Sure. Have a great time in Alaska. You're going to love it. It's like no place else on earth. So, Jason, big news in travel this week is the United Nations came out with their list, and this is a list not of places that are important to humanity, which is what the UNESCO World Heritage Sites are. This is about customs and traditions that are important to humanity. I thought this was absolutely fascinating and a good way to plan a vacation. Like some of the customs are that the Irish sport of hurling. That's one. And reggae music.
That's not
music.
Vomiting. Sounds like it's throwing up.
Right.
No, it's an actual heritage sport, yes.
In our article, we have a fabulous writer named Zach Thompson. He says that it's kind of like Quidditch. That's what he thinks.
From Harry Potter.
From Harry Potter. That's what the sport is like. They also picked reggae from Jamaica as one of the most important world heritage traditions. What were some of the others, Jason?
That Poland has some a long tradition of really beautiful nativity scenes. And so the nativity scenes in Poland are now deemed an intangible treasure that you really need to go. When you go through this list, you're like, that's what I should go do when I'm in such and such a country. It's a really great way. There's a form of singing from Croatia called Međimurska popevka.
Ooh,
right?
I'm amazed you can pronounce that.
I can't sing it, but I can say it. This is a fantastic list. If you go to the UNESCO.org site and look up intangible heritage, I think in the past it's done things like pizza in Naples. So they have some good sense. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's a good thing to put on the list. There's a lot of music this year. There's rituals in Panama. There's drums in Spain. Reggae, like Pauline said. There's some dance in Zambia, which I mentioned that country a little earlier today in the show. There's a lot of great stuff. And wrestling in both Korea and the country of Georgia. So there's tons of interesting stuff that you may not have known existed, but you'll want to go see once you see what a treasure that the UNESCO people think it is.
Yeah, no, absolutely fascinating. Another bit of news that came out is Carnival is really going to harsh on you if you smoke while you are on board one of their ships. Jason, how did this come to light and what will happen if you're a smoker?
Well, you know, smoking on the ships has always been frowned upon. You know that muster drill you have to do when you first get on a cruise, before you can leave the dock, you have to sit there and listen to the spiel about what happens in an emergency. For years, they've been saying, don't throw your cigarettes at your cabin because it could blow right back into someone else's cabin. And I thought, well, why are we allowed to smoke at all? Well, on many lines, they've said you can't smoke, you'll get a fine. But Carnival goes now one step further. If they find out you've smoked or are smoking in your cabin, you get kicked off the cruise ship. So does everyone else in your cabin, even if they're innocent, and you have to pay a $500 cleaning fee, and you don't get a refund. They're not fooling around. The only place you're allowed to smoke are up on decks in designated zones or in little parts of the casino or in some of the nightclubs, which is why they stink so bad. So it's very dangerous to have smoking on a ship because, you know, of course, if the cigarette does blow back in and no one's in that cabin, you could, of course, start a fire. And a fire on a ship is one of the worst things that can happen to the ship.
Of course.
So I'm glad that they did it just for safety reasons, despite the fact that I also personally find smoking makes me a little ill because I'm not a smoker.
Right.
So I'm pretty happy about it, but I didn't know that Carnival would be the first one.
It's interesting.
You think of Carnival as being the anything goes cruise line.
And it's not when it comes to smoking. So a warning to all our listeners, if you're a smoker, don't try and get away with it on Carnival. Your wife or husband is going to be angry at you because you're going to get kicked off the ship. It's incredible. Not just the smoker, but everybody in that cabin gets kicked off. I'm looking at the clock. We have to take one more break. But when we come back, we'll have time for questions or we'll chat a bit more. So don't turn that dial. Just bear with us. These are our sponsors. We wouldn't be on air without them. Take a listen.
Pauline Frommer, Jason Cochran, The Frommer Travel Show. Only here where New York comes to talk. 77 WABC.
So we started the show by talking about Christmas markets. And Jason, you have one more that you wanted to add, right?
Yeah, people always think of Germany. But I found some of my favorite ones were in Vienna. Because you still have those Germanic traditions, but they're just not as insane. You can still drink the hot Glühwein, that very rich red wine that they heat up, kind of like mulled cider, but boozy. And there's about 150 booths in one of them alone at the Rathaus, which is the city hall. But they're all over town. They do really beautiful glasswork in Vienna. So I've purchased some really great Christmas ornaments in Vienna. Some of them I misjudged how heavy they were because they're blown glass, and sometimes my tree bends over like Charlie Brown's. But they're beautiful. I always try to put them down at the bottom, but they're beautiful pieces that I picked up there. It's really great to buy these ornaments in if you are a Christmas tree person all over the world, because then you've got these things that you bought all over the world, and every time you look at your tree from then on, you've got a souvenir staring back at you. You remember the good time you had exploring.
I got a gorgeous Christmas ornaments when I was in Krakow, actually, handmade. Absolutely. They put everything else on my tree to shame. And when I look at them, I'm taken back to Krakow. It's a really wonderful thing. One of my other places in the world, favorite places in the world, actually, Krakow would be one of them, is the country of Italy. Who doesn't love Italy? But we just heard a fascinating thing. One of the most, famous accidents in history may be writing itself. Jason, why don't you tell about this?
The Leaning Tower is leaning less. I mean, it's still not straight up and down. I mean, don't worry about that. But it's gone back the correct way by about 4 centimeters, which is what, about an inch and a half, maybe two inches?
I'm amazed
which
that
is
they
something.
Know that. How do they, I guess they
oh,
have
Oh, they've
the...
got their eye. Oh, yeah, yeah. Because it was at risk of completely toppling over for a while there.
Sure.
They've got every GPS thing pointed at that. They know if a bird flaps next to it. So they do know. So you can still go into it, but they think it's because they tried really hard in the 90s. I don't know if you guys remember it, but they put all these weights on one side of it and they went underneath and they filled it and they just did all these technological things to it to try to get it to not fall over, and apparently it's worked and it's starting to go back the right way. It's just, you know, it's going to be not in our lifetimes will it ever be perpendicular, and thank goodness, because then who would care? But it is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, so
yeah.
Interestingly.
Yeah, well, we thank you so much for listening, and we hope you'll listen again next week. We hope you'll buy our books as Christmas gifts. No better gift out there. To those who are traveling, may we wish you a hearty bon voyage.
Bon voyage.
Diet.